This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Friday, March 22nd, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nelly. Here's today's headlines. DOL gets flat budget. Vilsack gets heat over bird flu research. And Farm Transition Commission gets push. Congress reaches funding deadline. The House expected to vote this morning on the final six-bill funding package for fiscal 24. The package, which needs to pass before this weekend to avoid a partial government shutdown, includes funding for the Labor Department as well as the Departments of Health and Human Services, Homeland Security, and Defense. Democrats say they were able to largely protect the Labor Department from significant cuts. The $13.7 billion provided for DOL is only a slight reduction from FY23 after adjusting for the bill's community project funding. That's $4.5 billion above the funding level proposed by House Republicans, according to a Democratic summary. Why it matters? Well, DOL administers the H-2A visa program, regulates worker safety, and enforces wage and hour regulations. Vilsack accused of risking U.S. security with HPAI research. China and its relation to U.S. agriculture emerged as an issue again yesterday as Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack returned to Capitol Hill. Members of the House Ag Appropriations Subcommittee peppered Vilsack with questions about the department's tracking of foreign purchases of U.S. farmland. And Virginia GOP Congressman Ben Klein ripped into Vilsack over USDA's avian flu research, which includes some cooperation with the Chinese Academy of Sciences. Vilsack insisted that USDA's work on highly pathogenic avian influenza is being carried out separately from what the Chinese are doing, but he also defended the cooperation, saying, "We have to figure out how to solve it and how to stop it." Klein rejected Vilsack's argument that there were clear walls between what USDA is doing and the Chinese research. "You're doing a disservice to our national security and our country," Klein said. Senator Joni Ernst raised similar concerns about the Chinese connection in a letter last month to Secretary Vilsack. Now take note, Vilsack also came under fire from Republicans for his use of the Commodity Credit Corporation. Subcommittee Chairman Andy Harris of Maryland accused him of running the CCC as a slush fund. He cited Vilsack's offer to use the CCC to supplement farm bill funding. Meanwhile, a California congressman complained that Vilsack wouldn't use the CCC to provide disaster relief to some farmers. You can read our report at AgriPulse.com. By the way, congressional Republicans haven't taken Vilsack up on his offer to use the CCC to address a funding shortfall for the Farm Bill commodity title. In an interview for this week's AgriPulse Newsmakers, House Ag Chairman Glenn G.T. Thompson indicates he's still trying to get an agreement with Democrats on funding sources for the bill. "We are still working through some of the issues of how you pay it," he said. This week's Newsmakers available today at AgriPulse.com. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. Daybreak is sponsored by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the third largest dairy co-op in the country. Edge is a powerful advocate in Washington for farmers throughout the upper Midwest. Dairy has reached a crossroads. The time for change is now. As more milk is moving outside the federal milk marketing order system, we need to ensure basic protections remain in place for the farmer, such as timely payments and third-party verification. Edge says it's time to provide these protections to all dairy farmers. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Senators look to set up Farm Transition Commission. A bipartisan Senate bill would stand up a new commission to dig into issues affecting the transition of farms to the next generation of producers. The 2018 Farm Bill authorized the Commission on Farm Transitions, but USDA has never established it. Among the issues the commission would investigate is the availability of land, infrastructure, and affordable credit. The commission also would be tasked with making recommendations on improvements to asset transfer strategies and on incentives that would encourage asset transfers to the next generation. With one in three farmers preparing to retire in the next decade, we cannot afford to stand back and watch as the nation's agriculture industry reaches a tipping point without a plan to feed the future, says Indiana GOP Senator Mike Braun, who is co-sponsoring the bill with Senator Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin. Bankers report continued rural economic slump. Rural Bankers' assessment of economies in 10 agriculture-dependent states in March fell to lows not seen since the summer of 2020 amid rising interest rates, higher grain storage costs, and weaker agriculture commodity prices. Creighton University's Rural Main Street Index, a monthly survey of rural bankers, fell to an overall reading of 38. One factor at play is the drop in the price of corn, Creighton University economist Ernie Goss tells AgriPulse. Jeff Bonnet, CEO of Havana National Bank in Haven, Illinois, reported in the survey, quote, "Our farm operators, like their peers across the Corn Belt, are still storing 23 crop, waiting at least a break-even price. Without an upward push in commodity prices, the 24 crop projections mirror those of 23. The index assigns values of between 0 and 100 for banker perceptions of the economy, 50 meaning growth neutral. Among the biggest changes from February was the index for farm equipment sales, which fell from 49.5 to 30.4. But Goss says most farmers can still make their loan payments following a couple of very good years. More than three-quarters of bankers surveyed reported farm loan delinquency rates of 0.9% or less. APHIS recommends approval of dicamba-resistant corn. The Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service is recommending approval of a corn variety developed by Bayer that is resistant to five herbicides. The company submitted a petition in 2020 seeking non-regulated status for its MON 87429 corn cultivar, which is resistant to dicamba, glufosinate, and three other herbicides. In a draft environmental impact statement, APHIS acknowledged the off-target dicamba damage caused when the volatile herbicide has been sprayed on soybeans. However, it said, to what extent MON 87429 corn on dicamba could be used may or may not contribute to the controversy, and potential tangential costs associated with dicamba use is uncertain. The public will have an opportunity to comment on the draft EIS and plant pest risk assessment until May 6th, that according to a Federal Register notice that was published today. Well, here's today's He Said It. They are overcompensated, and they're putting farms at risk. That Representative John Molinar, a Michigan Republican, referring to H-2A farm workers. Molinar told Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack that the H-2A wage rates are excessive. Vilsack noted that the Farm Workforce Modernization Act would have frozen the rates temporarily. Well, that's Daybreak for this Friday, March 22nd, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Daly.